Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Welcome back to the Riot Podcast. This is part two of Why Religion
Sucks
and Why Jesus
Rocks.
Man, in our last episode, we finished up talking about comparison, and I wanted to kind of share something right out of the Word of God that I think just highlights that topic just perfectly. So this is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So there's Jesus just boiling down religion and a relationship in a nutshell there to me. It's just, you know, just because you do and hit a checklist of casting out demons and prophesizing in your name, it doesn't mean that you know him or that he knows you, even more importantly.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why we're doing this podcast. It's so important to understand that religion is not going to save you. It's so important to understand the difference between having a relationship with Jesus and going to church because it's the religious thing to do. Adrian Rogers is one of the great Baptist preachers of his day. He said, I believe that a great number of people are going to die and go to hell because they're counting on the religiosity in the church instead of the relationship with Jesus to get them to heaven. They give lip service to repentance and faith, but they've never been born again. And so I think that this is why this topic is so important. We're sharing with people that your religion isn't getting you to heaven.
Right.
We're sharing, if you're doing the things that we talked about in part one, and you're going to do the things that we're going to talk about in part two, there's a strong chance, there's a possibility that when it says that five will be left and five will be taken, that you might be left behind, that you might not be, you, as we called out, that you might say, Lord, Lord, but he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you're like, well, didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I pray? Didn't I go to Bible study? Didn't I tithe? And he would say, you did, but you were doing it in religion. You did not have a relationship. You did not know me intimately. And so we're helping people know Jesus intimately with what we're talking about today. And so again, as I said in the first show, re-listen to this over and over again. If you have questions at the end or you need more clarity, please reach out to us on our social media accounts. Text us. We will respond back. Instant message us. Whatever it is, we will reach out to you and talk with you. But maybe let's just dive right into the second, unless you had any thoughts on that, Barry.
You know me, Pete, I always have some type of thought.
That's right.
But, you know, guys, are you religious? And think about that. I mean, let's answer the question. Let's be real with God. Because if you are religious and you're counting on your, as one of the greatest pastors said, your religiosity to get to heaven, you will miss the boat. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So if we feel like we're good enough to get to heaven, or that God owes us something, or that we're okay, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You are absolutely wrong. And I brought up a verse that this tax collector was beating his chest and saying, have mercy on me, oh God. It's realizing we don't measure up and we can't measure up, but that Jesus, oh Jesus, and what he's done for us, that overwhelms us with love. He lavishes us with his love. And because of that love, I do. Not because I do, I am. It's I am, and then I do. Come on now.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah.
So if you happen to stumble on this podcast and haven't heard part one yet, I would highly recommend going back so that everything is in context. But in part one, we talk about religion causes you to condemn yourself. And then part two, or item two, is religion causes you to judge others and live a life of comparison. And we talked a lot about exactly what that means. So if you haven't heard that yet, back up, listen to that one first, and the next three will make a lot more sense in context. So Guys, let's jump into number three. Religion makes you feel like God owes you. If we buy into the idea that righteousness is something we can achieve, then we will ultimately believe that God owes us. Sure, we may not come to that right away or say it out loud, but we will believe it. This mentality will cause us to question God. Because, you know, why would God allow something bad to happen to someone who follows his rules? Bad things happen because we live in a world cursed by sin, and an idea that God owes us anything is in complete opposition to the gospel.
Wow.
The Bible plainly says that no one does good before God, and that our salvation is only made possible by the grace through faith, by grace through faith, so that no one may boast. God doesn't owe us anything because he has already given us everything when he died on the cross for our sins.
Ah, that's so good, Bob. That puts it in perspective major, right away. I mean, we think a lot of times, I'm just thinking of my personal life. Let's just go back. And so when I'm doing really good and I'm living a life that I think is holy or whatever. I mean, again, I'm deceived a lot of times thinking that I was living holy when I really wasn't. But I feel like, okay, when something bad happens to me, the first thing that I say is, well, why, God? I mean, ain't I doing this? Ain't I living a good life? Ain't I going to church and tithing? And I'm doing everything you told me to do. But this is happening. This is still happening in my life, and I don't understand it. And so it's having the wrong perspective, and that's a religious mindset. And the right perspective is it's never about you.
Right.
It's always about God. The right perspective is, all right, God, well, what is it that you're asking of me to do? The right perspective is to have an eyes to see and ears to hear. The right perspective is, are you adjusting your life to fit what he's doing? It's not about him condemning you. It's about what is God asking of you to do in this moment. It might be he might be saying, hey, I need you to come rest in me and come spend time with me and worship me because I haven't heard from you in a while. That's a relationship. Religion is saying, I did this and so I deserve this from you, God. I did this and so you owe me. You're not a good God because you're allowing this to happen. And God saying, no, I am a great God. I desire to have a relationship with you. I desire to know you intimately. I desire to bless you and to further and bring favor in your life. I don't desire to condemn you. I don't desire to do that. We have the wrong perspective if we're living a religious life that you owe me. So any thoughts, Bear?
You know, I was just thinking, Pete, about that passage that talks about you have not because you don't ask God. And you have not because when you do ask God, you ask with the wrong motives. You know, when we bring our list, God, I need this new job that pays more. God, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do that. It's treating God like he's our genie.
Yeah.
You know, and that he owes us that, you know, if I'm really your child, you're going to do all these things for me. Right, Dad? Wink, wink. You know, it's expecting God to elevate us above everybody else. And it's a world type of, it's a U.S. American dream type of religion. And it's not true. This prosperity theology that God wants to give you a new car. No way, man.
Yeah, it's not of God.
God may want you to give your car away to somebody, you know, and then maybe he'll give you a new car. But it's, he wants a personal, intimate relationship that we trust him and we walk with him. And that what he has already given us is way over more than what we deserve, right?
Yeah, and again, Barry, I'm glad you touched on that. Having the wrong theology hurts us. And so if we are out there believing that that we're supposed to be healthy all the time, and if we get sick, then that's because we have lack of faith. That's a condemnation. That is not of God.
Nope.
If you believe that God says that you're supposed to be wealthy when Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head, you have the wrong theology. And if you feel like God owes you something because you feel the Bible says that, that's going to mess you up a little bit. And so we have to really understand that. But again, let's just go back and think about this. Okay, so if your mindset is, I want God to fulfill whatever that is, that's religion. If your mindset is, Lord, use me in whatever circumstance, whatever situation it is, to fulfill your purpose, you're now in a relationship. You now understand that it's not about you, It's about him. And it's not about what he owes you. It's what you owe him. He's already paid the price. He's already paid the ransom. He's already done all the work.
That's an awesome point.
Our mindset is we are to follow him in whatever it is he's doing.
Bought and with so, the price.
That's it. It's everything is already taken care of. And so a religious mindset, if you're constantly complaining to God and you're constantly yelling at him and saying, why God, why God, why God, you're living a life of religion. And you need to really ask God to help you change that mindset. You have to ask God to deliver you from that. And you have to start looking at it from the right perspective. You have to have the right theology. You have to have the right understanding of who God is, his love, his grace, his mercy for you, his acceptance of you, his pursuit of you. But more importantly, understand it's not about you. If you're making life about you, it's a religious mindset. If it's like, I'm feeling so bad, why does God hate me? Why does this always happen to me? Why are all these problems coming into my life? Why is this? Why is that? Why is that? Dude, you're completely off. I would say that you don't know Jesus, because that's a lie. That's Satan trying to divide you. That's Satan trying to separate you from God. God is not that at all. God is pursuing you with a love that's unamazing. It's amazing. I can't even speak. Forgive me.
That's awesome. Bob. I had something to say and I just got lost listening to you, P. That was really, really good. No, don't be sorry. Man, what was...
Well, Bob, we had a conversation not too long ago about how we bring our petitions to the Lord. And what we need to do is sign it and say, yes, God, whatever you want, you fill it in, instead of asking God to... After we done filled in all of the things that we want God to do, asking him to sign it, you know, that's such a difference.
Picture.
Yeah. It's the trust relationship. And you know what you're talking about, Pete, man, it is so true. Can Jesus save me if he's not my Lord? If he doesn't have permission to call me out and ask things from me and to tell me what to do and to veto what I want to do, is he really your Lord? Have you really been saved? Have you really surrendered your life over to him? If he's not your Lord, if he doesn't have that place in your life to say, well, I gave every drop of my blood. I was beaten beyond recognition and I gave my life and died for you. And I can't ask you to give 10% of your money to my kingdom. If I can't ask you to go next door and reach out to your neighbor that's dying of cancer. If I can't stop your day, what you're doing in your day is more important than what I want to stop you to do when someone's broken down on the side of the road or you saw that coworker crying. If I can't interrupt your day, am I really your Lord?
Yeah. I think so many people get confused that they think knowing who Jesus is enough, and it's not. There's a big difference between knowing who he is and knowing him.
Religion doesn't accept that God's ways are not our ways. Religion says that what God says, but God needs, if I'm doing what God says in my opinion or my feel, God owes me. Religion says that God is, if he's a good God, then he's going to always be good to me. God, if God is such a, you know, the perfect way, then he's going to fulfill what I feel, what I see, what I think is the very best. And that's religion. That's the false theology. That's
again,
a false
focused
understanding.
Focused on me and not focused on him.
Yes. And so relationship is always saying, God, what is it that you desire of me? God, what is it that you ask of me to change? Lord, are you wanting me to spend time with you now? Are you wanting me to fellowship with you now? Are you asking of me to, as Barry was saying, talk to my neighbor? Are you asking of me to sell my house and my goods and move to Ethiopia? Are you asking of me to do things that are outside of my comfort zone so that you are glorified? Lord, I will go where you go. I will stay where you stay. It's not about me, God. Religion makes it about yourself. It's like, what does God owe me? You know, you work really hard, you go to church, but the reality is God is saying, I don't want that. I just want your worship. I just want your presence. I just want you to spend time with me. And then adjust your life to whatever it is that I'm saying in that moment. See things from his eyes. See things from his perspective.
It reminds me of back early in Acts, where the church is just growing and people are, you mentioned this, people are selling their stuff and giving to those who have need. And then there's this couple that comes along, right, and sells sells some property that was theirs and says they gave all of it or part of it, but they were doing it for their own glory, and the Holy Spirit just strikes them down. So again, I think a very vivid picture of the difference between doing something out of a religious obligation or to draw attention to self versus doing something out of a relationship.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, I can't push this hard enough that if you're a pastor out there leading a congregation, we have got to ask ourselves, are we connecting people to a intimate, deep relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are we telling them that if they would just do these things, God would approve of them and God would bless them? And God, if we spend time in the Word, if we come to church, if we come to Wednesday nights, if we come to all these programs that we're making, that we're building to per se build His kingdom, but we're really building our kingdom, and we're making people feel like that if you do this, God will do that. You know, that is not a relationship. That is religion. And I'm telling you, I have. And this is convicting me. We have got to preach Jesus and a relationship with Jesus to the Father. And that we find ourselves in His eyes, not in the eyes of others. Because when we care more about what the pastor thinks, or we care more about what the committees thinks, or what our neighbors think about us than what God thinks, we're living a double lifestyle, right?
Yeah, and then the byproduct, so as a pastor, again, so it's Jesus. It's first learning to spend time in His presence. It's first learning the intimate part of that. But then the byproduct of that is, as a pastor or as a teacher, we are then now given the tools. And the tools is the way that we experience God is through reading our Bible. The way that we learn about who He is and His nature is by learning what the Bible says about it. The way that we have communication with God is through prayer. The way that we have fellowship with Him is through worship and adoration and spending time in thankfulness with Him. And so as a pastor, we teach them that. But the first primary focus is people need to know who Jesus is. They need to have that intimate relationship. It's not the rules. It's not the, you got to do this, and you got to do this, you got to do this. It's the spend intimate time with Him and listen. And I tell some people, it says, maybe God doesn't want you to serve right now. Maybe you are supposed to sit at His feet and just worship Him. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to be that person. Maybe you need to be Mary and not Martha, right? And so, but if God, if you are spending time with the worship and you're spending time with Him, God eventually is going to speak to you and He's going to tell you, hey, I need you to get out there and do Martha stuff too, because it's the byproduct of a loving relationship.
Yeah.
It's a give take. God is giving. God's word. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all things are added unto you. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. It's that whole intimate relationship. It's a two-way street. So, good.
Barry, you just mentioned double lifestyle. That's a perfect segue into item number four. So let's jump into that. Religion causes you to live a double life. One of the most crushing aspects of religion is the way that it takes our eyes off of Jesus and puts them onto ourselves and those around us. We forget His finished work is enough, and try to fix our issues on ourselves. Religion creates pride, and because of that pride, we will not want to admit our faults and our issues. We will be tempted to maintain a public persona that in no way matches the condition of our heart. Wow. This is not the life God intended for us. God wants us to live in the freedom of being fully known and fully loved.
So good. You know, and it goes back to the beginning in Garden of Eden, and it's wanting to be like God. And that's the pride part of it, is we want to make our own decisions. We want to be like God so much that we put on mask a lot of what we're doing that's behind the scenes. And so if we're got a religious mask, you know, because we're going to church, we put on the religious mask, we act religion. If we're with the sports guys, you know, we have our sports mask on. If we're with, you know, whatever, our friends or our colleagues or whatever, we have that mask on. And we're wanting to control our own destiny. We're wanting to control our own outcome. We're wanting to make the appearance of what we're doing the way that we want other people to perceive it. And that's religious mindset. And Jesus says that I'm the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. I'm never different. Yeah, Jesus says that your life is so transformed by the renewing of your mind that you are now a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All, behold, all things are new. Jesus says that in relationship with him is that you are acting and modeling the things that I am sharing with you, that your the fruit of the Spirit is relevant, that the that your life is a gentler, kinder self, that you're living the life that I taught you to live, that you're living a life with a freedom. You know, you're not living this fake double life. And I know there's a lot of people out there, I'm telling you, in the church. What, Barry, what is the, what was that, that Billy Graham said, like 80% or something of the people that are in church probably are not saved, right? Or they're living a double life?
Absolutely. That's what they say. Billy Graham said that probably 80% in the church and 80% that come forward in one of his crusades really don't know the Lord because they haven't made him Lord of their life. And, you know, I was thinking about Pete, you know, this issue of living a double lifestyle, I think that is a number one issue. Being a youth pastor for 12 years, that when people graduate, that they don't come back to church because they've seen the hypocrisy of the double lifestyle. They've seen mom and dad abuse one another words with their words. They see mom and dad, you know, go and be very sinful at home and then put on a mask at church, look all prim and proper and act like everything's okay. You know what? Here's a news flash. Everything isn't okay. And I'm not okay. You're not okay. None of us are okay. We're in desperate need of God. And I think I really think that there will be an awakening in the church when the church takes off its mask and realizes that I'm really not as good as I act. I really am hurting. I really am struggling, and I need Christ, and I need grace, and I need mercy, and I'm really my experience and my reality of where I'm at right now is not as good as you think it is because of the way I make you perceive it by wearing masks.
It's calling it out. So I'm just going to use my own life. I'm going to be very vulnerable, and I'm okay with that because I'm not hiding it behind a mask. I am free in Christ. I am set free. I know that I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to prove anything to you guys. I know that Jesus loves me for who I am and that Jesus meets me right where I'm at. And Jesus is dealing with me in my moment right now. And I have weaknesses. And so I have, you know, there's that times when I get really busy and there's things that are happening in my life. I my temperature raises a little bit, you know, and I get a little bit more aggressive and things start happening in my tone of voice and so forth. But instead of me hiding behind that, I can say right away, that's not of God. And I could be free from that. And I can say, God, I need to repent of that. And I need to be free, but I don't have to hide and say, well, you're going to, you know, if someone else is going to condemn me or someone else is going to think less of me. No, because I'm already free with Jesus. I've already surrendered that to him. I've already let him say, hey, God, I'm my imperfect self. You know, here's another rotten fruit, Lord, you know, and he knows that. But more importantly, my heart says, I don't want to be that way. My heart says, I want to be transformed. I want to continue to know God. Lord, I want to learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. I want to learn to trust in the Holy Spirit more, not just in my own flesh or my own self. I want to learn how to take a deep breath and meditate on God's truth and captive my thoughts and slow down at times. And so I want to learn that, and I'm free with that. And so I don't care. I could tell the whole world my sins. I could tell the whole world my struggles because I don't care what you think. All that matters is what I know about Jesus. All that matters is what I know about his love and how much he cares for me and how much he's, and all of that, all of my sins have been bought and paid for. My sins from yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all forgiven. I do not have to worry about any of that. Amen. I have eternal life. I do not fear death. I do not fear anything. I'm living free in Jesus. And so if you're living in religion and you're living that double life, and you're living that fake life, and the kids are leaving the church because of your lifestyle, and they see the hypocrisy. Stop, because you're vulnerable to being left behind. You're vulnerable to not be knowing who Jesus is. You're vulnerable to not maybe having a relationship. He might say, "Depart from me. I never knew you."
Right.
Take this honestly and say, "God, is this me?" And if he's saying, "Yeah, that's you," then stop. And if you need help to help walk you through that, talk to us, reach out to us, or reach out to your pastor, or reach out to somebody that can help you get through that. And if you need a pastor, you need a church, reach out to us. We'll find one for you to help you. This is so important to understand. There's so many in the church right now that are hurting and that this is their lifestyle. And so living that double life, regardless. I mean, you have five masks. I'm a wife. I'm a coach. I'm a religious person. I'm a worker. I'm whatever. You have all these masks. You get confused, and then you're all messed up. You're hating things. You're miserable. You're angry. You're upset. Whatever. You're just frustrated. You know, just be free. Repent of it. Give it to God. Accept His grace. Accept His mercy, and stop living that life. Barry, thoughts?
I'm going to jump in. That's okay. For much of my adult life, I lived this way. And I can tell you, there was almost like silos. There was the church silo, and there was the work silo, and there was the bowling silo. And, it's like, it was different personalities. And I can tell you that it's exhausting way to live.
Yeah.
It's not free. There's freedom in being consistent and being who you really are. And Barry, when you're talking about kids just leaving the ministry because what they saw was they were seeing hypocrisy lived out in front of them, and nobody wants to be a part of that. And I can honestly tell you that I think that was a turning point in my life when I found out that I was going to be a dad, and the last thing I wanted to do was be a barrier between my daughter and Christ. And this is kind of, and you were talking about masks, Pete, and I know you're talking about a non-physical facade, but I've really seen in this COVID time where people, where we're literally wearing masks, right, a physical mask covering our face. Have you guys noticed this when you're walking through stores or, just out in public and mask, people will not look you in the eye? Mm-hmm. There's almost like there's this fear of being seen as they're hiding behind a mask. And I think we really do that as people with the spiritual mask as well and the facade. So when we're living that separate life and that those dual personalities or whatever, we're afraid of being known even by other people. Mm. We don't look them in the eye. That fear of being found out is there. What a difference it is to live in Christ and to just be free and be like Pete's talking about. Look, I'll share my sin. I'll share, what's really going on in my life. There's no difference between, Sunday morning and Wednesday afternoon on the golf course. We're the same person, and it's just freeing.
And that's the other thing about having friends in your life. That's where that fellowship comes in. I think we talked about that. Is it's really good to be around other brothers or sisters in Christ that could speak into your life. Because there's a lot of things that I'm ignorant to. I don't see some of my sins. I mean, I'm messed up, but someone that's already been set free there might see my sin a lot more clear. And they could be able to come alongside me and say, hey, man, what's up with this? And then just by bringing that to my attention helps me to repent of it. It helps me to acknowledge it every time that it comes up.
We need each other.
Yeah. And that's the other thing why we have that.
One of the things we need to ask ourselves is why would Satan want us to do this? Right? Why would he want us to wear a mask? Because of it keeps us away from a confessional environment. Exactly what you guys were saying. If I got to put on my mask, I control the scenario.
Yeah.
And I control the circumstances. And if I'm really not doing good, I'm not going to church. When that really should be the time you go to church, right? When I'm struggling the most, I should want to go be with other believers, and I would want to need to get some help and get some encouragement. But we never do that. Why? Because we're wearing masks, and we want people to think higher of us than we think of ourselves. In James 1:9, where it says that confess your sins to one another, and that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Where it says that, man, it's so powerful. When we confess our sins to one another, it brings it out in the light, and it causes it, that sin in our life and that temptation in our life, to die, because the light scorches it.
It rips off the mask.
It does, man, and that is so powerful that I just got to be real. I gotta not wear the mask. I need to just come out and just say, hey, I'm struggling and I need help. And when I think about this question, this tells me whether I'm being religious or I'm in a relationship. Because when I'm in a religious mindset, I don't show my inadequacies. I don't show my vulnerabilities. But ask yourself this question today. When you're really hurting and you're really struggling, where do you run to?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be an addiction. A lot of times, if you're religious and your religion is not working for you, where do you run? You run to porn. You run to alcohol. You run to drugs. You run to anger. Wherever you're comforted by, we call them symptoms in your life of sin. Whatever the symptom is in your life, it is how you're medicating that your religion is not working.
Again, it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. That's pride. So we are saying that we are God. We are saying that we have what's best. And so when we put the mask on, that's covering that. That's protecting our pride. That's claiming that we are the best. When we take off the mask, that's surrender. That's humility. That's repentance. That's where we're set free. And so that's what we're talking about. So the double life is you're putting the mask on, but you're not in a humble state of mind. You're still claiming ownership. You're still claiming that you know best. You're still claiming that you're God, so to speak. But when you're vulnerable and you're set free and you recognize that it's wrong and you're calling out your sin and you're repenting of that, you're now set free because you're now in the grace of God. You're now in the goodness of God. You're now relying upon that His way is better. You're now relying upon that His love is perfect. And that nothing that you can do in and of yourself is good, but you can rest in Him, and it doesn't matter what other people think. So take the mask off. Stop being God. Stop living behind sin. Stop living behind that, and just repent of it. Just confess that, and rip that off, and be vulnerable, and surround yourself with like-minded men or women that can help you to be free there.
So good. Man, I pray this is helping somebody out there. Let us know. The last item that we wanted to cover on this subject is religion focuses on how instead of the who. Religion causes us to focus on the how of everything and everyone around us. How should worship music be done? How long should we pray? How much of the Bible should I read? How much money should I give? How should I dress at church? Asking these kinds of questions could lead to why there's so much division in the church and why some people feel that Christianity is exhausting.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Following Jesus isn't an easy life, but it is life-giving, not life-taking. Relationship makes it simple because it focuses on the who, and the only who that truly matters is Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and again, when we do a lot of those, when we get into that how part, it just makes me think of like there's all these rules, there's all these regulations, there's all these, you know, here's the systems and here's everything that you got to do and all this stuff. And it's like, it gets exhausting. I mean, it overwhelms you at times. But we talked about this in our prep, the ultimate, and this kind of comes full circle, right? Because at the very beginning, we talked about Jesus is really the only answer. And now I think we walk through steps of why Jesus rocks and why, and you know, all that. But it starts and ends with Jesus. And so if we're trying to organize our church event or something, and because we use, you know, how to worship and how to all that, it's not asking how to worship. It's really asking God, what is it that you desire for us to do? And Lord, this is on our heart and so forth. So we want to surrender to you, and we want to really spend time with you. And until God says something, you don't move. You know, you spend time worshiping Him. You do what you comes naturally to you so that He is glorified, but have the openness and the readiness to move or to change based off of what He's saying. It's not asking how. It's asking, God, what? Where are you at? What do you want from me? How do I spend time with you? How do I listen to you? And so it goes with everything in our life. It's not asking the how questions. It's asking God, what is it that you desire? That's you are in charge. You are leading my life. You are in charge of that. So go on. Any thoughts, guys? And then I know that
I need to ask myself, why is my religion not working? And you know what? That becomes the question of how, right? It becomes the question of of what's going on with me, it's really, again, the I question, and that's pride. When there's an I question, what am I doing wrong, God? Why is my religion not working? Why are you not giving me what I really want? And I think God says sometimes, because if I give you what you really want, it's going to take you away from me. You won't need me. God wants that relationship more than anything. God died for that relationship. And the relationship, instead of being the who question or how question, excuse me, instead of being the how question, it needs to be the who question, because every time I struggle, every time I am hurting, every time I'm doing something that just doesn't make sense to me, something comes up, circumstances that doesn't make sense to me, I need to run to God. I need to run to Jesus. And that needs to be the answer. That needs to be my place of comfort instead of, God, what am I doing wrong? Why are you not approving of me? That's religion.
There's no power in religion. There's power in Jesus. There's no inspiration in religion. There's inspiration in Jesus. If you want a revelation of God, spend time with Jesus. You want something new every day, spend time with Jesus. If you want to have understanding, spend time with Jesus. If you want to have power and authority over the darkness and dominion that's happening in this world, spend time with Jesus. Call out to him. Call out to the Holy Spirit. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust and acknowledge that God is in charge. Trust and acknowledge him in all things. Religion will never, ever radically change a life, but Jesus will transform you. Jesus will change character. Look at the disciples. They were unlearned. They were uneducated people. And then the Pharisees and the people later looked at them and says, who are they? How do they have this much understanding? How do they have this much knowledge? And they said, oh yeah, they're the ones that have been with Jesus. You become smart. You become intelligent. You become wise when you speak, you act, you think, you look, you do as Jesus does. Your life is changed. Your life is better. Your life is good. Everything about Jesus is perfect. Everything about Jesus is worth living for, dying for. It's worth changing for. Everything about him, there's nothing in this world that can ever compete with him. There's no beauty, there's no joy, there's no entertainment, there's nothing that compares to the goodness that God gives you. And so Jesus, when we say Jesus, we're not saying it lightly. We're saying it with a magnitude that's beyond anything we can comprehend. That we are speechless when we come thinking about Jesus. We are in awe when we come into his presence because he's too big, he's too powerful, and he desires that intimate relationship with us. So we have to understand that Jesus is a big deal. Jesus really does rock, and religion really does suck.
Hey guys, listening to you, I kind of came up with like a little T-chart with religion and Christianity, and I'm going to walk through it, see if you guys agree with this, if this helps sum it up maybe for some of our listeners, or if I'm off base, please correct me. But religion does. Christianity is done. You know, it's already, the work has already been done.
Good.
Religion is human works. Christianity is God's grace.
Amen.
Religion is the law. Christianity is love.
Yep.
Religion is performance. Christianity is receiving.
Mm.
Religion is external. Christianity is internal.
Amen. Yes.
And then religion, so salvation in religion is a reward. Salvation in Christianity is a gift.
Wow.
Good job. That's good, Bob.
Good job, Bob.
Hey,
I just stole it from you guys. I was just, you know, listening to you and trying to jot down some notes.
Well, guys, I want to just challenge you to do one thing this week. And I'm challenging myself to have the conversation. Let's be bold. Let's have the conversation with God. You know, God, am I religious or do we have a relationship? Yeah. And listen. You know, a lot of times when we come in the presence of God, it's us doing all the talking. Why is silence so uncomfortable?
Yeah, so good.
Let's sit in the presence of God and let's ask that question and let's listen to what the Spirit of God would say to us this week. I know I am. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of being religious, and I think we all are. And I think we've seen the burnout from it, and I want more of Him, and I want to know Him deeper, and I want it to live like the treasure and the prize is Jesus, right? That's what we're saying in this last one. In this last, you know, religion focused on the how instead of the who. See, the prize and the trophy and the finish line and what is it all about, the purpose? It's you and Him. It's you and Jesus.
And again, religion always brings weight. It's always burdens. There's always pressure. And Jesus says that my burden is light and my yoke is easy. And so there's many here that are listening that might have a heavy burden today. There's many that are maybe listening that need to repent of their sins and they recognize that they're living a religious life. There's many here that maybe they've never really come to a relationship with the Lord. And I think that we should give you an opportunity today. So Barry, why don't you just help people just come to know who you are, who He is, and help them walk through that.
You know, man really can't bring the conviction of God. They can manipulate you and make you feel bad. But if you're feeling the conviction of God that all my life I've tried to measure up and I've been religious and I really don't have a relationship with God, I want you to know there's good news, because God wants nothing more for you than a relationship with Him. And He's gone to the most extreme demonstration of His love and His desire to know you by sending His Son, Jesus, to die. And so if you don't know, admit that you're a sinner and that you can't figure it out on your own, then that you have offended Him, and believe in Jesus, God's provision, God's only Son that died for you, was buried and rose again. And lastly, confess Him not as just a Savior, but as God and as your Lord, and invite Him to come in and rule in you, and ask Him within this prayer to help you not be religious, but to find a relationship with Him. I'll help you in the prayer. Will you pray with me? Dear God, You love me so much, and I'm overwhelmed. You created me in love for relationship. And God, so many times in this world, we replace it with religion, and we're sorry. We really are. I live for myself, and it's all about me, and that's sin, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me, when it's supposed to be. Life is really about You. And God, I've messed up, and I just ask that You would forgive me. I believe, Lord, that You want this relationship, and so much more than I do, that You sent Your Son to die for me. I believe that Jesus is Your Son, that He died on the cross, was beaten and bruised, and was placed in a borrowed tomb, and that He rose again the third day, defeating death, defeating sin, defeating devil, and defeating hell. And that's what I want, Lord. I want to know You. I want a relationship with You. And so I invite You to come into my life and sit on the throne of my life, Jesus, and rule in me. Tell me what You want me to do, because what I'm doing is not working. And I want to trust You, and I want to obey You. Help me to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, if you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. If you go onto our website, riotpodcast.co, and there's a No God section on the menu bar there. Go ahead and click on it, go down to the bottom, and click that you accepted the Lord, and fill out that, and we would love to get in contact with you, get you a Bible, get you a t-shirt, and just really just minister to you and just see and hear where you're at, and we love to just pray for you. And again, we would love to hear from you. So if there's people that are listening, please go onto our podcast. Please go into our social media sites and comment. And we would love to just share and talk with you. And if there's any questions, and it really would help us to understand where your guys are at and how we can help come alongside of you in any which way. So, Bob, any thoughts?
Yeah. Where's my cough button?
Yeah, there you go.
Man, just a great show, guys. Two-part show. I pray that people will share this as you guys are listening to this and it's touched you. Just share it with your friends. Share it on social media. Let me share a couple places you can do that. On Facebook, we are The Riot Podcast. On Twitter, it's The Riot _podcast. And on Instagram, we're also The Riot Podcast. And, of course, our website is riotpodcast.co. And we're just honored that you've listened to us. We're honored that you tune in every week, and we just, man, I just pray that this has really just kind of sunk in, and I know each of us have been touched by the message as we're listening to each other. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in religion and forget about Jesus. Man, I love our title, Why Religion Sucks and Why Jesus Rocks.
Sucks!
and it's just so true. There's just, religion is just a pit, and it just will destroy your joy, and it just can never live up to, what we're trying to do there. And honestly, if we could do it, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross, right?
If you're listening to this right now, and you're listening to all of the end of part two, okay? If you write in our social media group prophecy, because that's what we're going to be talking about next week and the weeks after. If you write in our social media, so go into our social media page and you just write a question, prophecy, then we're going to give you a free t-shirt. And nice. So we'll connect out to you and we'll just send it out to you and we'll get you a free t-shirt. But just write prophecy. So that tells us that we know that you were listening, because that's is what's coming.
Yeah, that's our next series, guys. Prophecy in the End Times. We'll have some special guests on to kind of help walk us through it. I don't think, I know I'm not an expert on it, and we can definitely reach out to some people that are just study this and just know it, and it's going to be exciting. I am excited to just see how much, we can learn and dive into this. And what do you think, Barry?
Well, before we close out, this is really on my heart, guys. I just really sense that there's a pastor out there that's really broken right now, and that is really hurting. And who does a pastor reach out to? Well, I want you to know that Riot Podcast is a safe place.
Amen.
And that if you need anything, Pastor, we love you. We believe in you. And part of the reason why we are doing this is because we want to serve you and your congregation. Yeah. So, that's not the way to end this thing. That's not what you were expecting me to do. But I just sense that that's the Holy Spirit wanting me to say to somebody that's a pastor out there, you're not alone. Hmm. And God forgives you. God loves you, and he still believes in you, and so do we. And if we can come alongside you in any way, let us, please. Yeah,
so
we want to hear from you.
So good, Barry.
And so, yes, prophecy is going to be awesome. And Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Ready or not.
That's it.
And you guys are coming back next week. Don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast, guys. We love you. We thank you for your time. And until next week.
Peace out.
God loves you. You don't suck.
Amen.
This has been the Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of the Riot Podcast.